Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for His interest in us. Everything that we know about Him would lead us to understand that He came into this world that He might seek and save the lost. And such were we. And so we know He came for us. And we realize, too, that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And our hearts are touched and drawn to Him for His patient mercy and kindness. We pray Thee, Father, to help us to understand these things. And now, as we read Thy Word, do Thou open the Scripture to us so that we can see more and more of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Add Thy blessing to us as we think together. For Thy name's sake, we ask it. Amen. In our study of the book of Matthew, we come now in the 15th chapter, in the last part of the chapter, in verses 32 to 39, to another incident of the Lord Jesus Christ feeding the multitude. I expect a good many of us would remember that we had talked about that just recently. That's true. This is the second incident of its sort. And I think that it would be a normal thing for us in reading and studying. When we come across something, we've read something like it before, we could skip it and say, well, I know about that. Let me suggest something to you. Let me suggest that we do not skip anything when it comes the second time around. Why not trust the providence of God in this and trust the Spirit of God inspiring this? Because the same writer who wrote this whole book of Matthew tells these two incidents. Mark my word, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for saying something two or three or four times and saying something else just one time. I remember long ago when one occasion my father-in-law, who helped me a great deal with the understanding of Scripture, indicated something like this to me. It's a good thing to follow along with the proportion that the Bible uses. When the Bible speaks of a thing seldom, then speak seldom of it. If the Bible speaks of a thing often, then speak often of it. And in so talking about it, he used to say to me also, if you read something in Scripture, and when you notice it, you think you have an insight, it may be new to you, it may be strange, and you may wonder whether or not it's true, read on in Scripture till you come to it again. If you never come to it again, and you find it in the Bible only one time, this is my father-in-law speaking to me, he said, it might be a good thing to just keep that to yourself. Might be a good thing to just keep that in your own heart and mind. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now, of course, that wouldn't go for every single word. I'm sure it wouldn't go for every illustration. I'm sure it wouldn't go for every parable. And still the truth is there. He used to tell me that until you find it said somewhere else in Scripture, be careful with your using of it, because you may not get its balance. You may just say it the way you think it is, and that won't be the way God has it. That's the reason why there's as much of the Bible as there is. It's so that you can get the balance of truth, and you can get the whole thing before you in the way in which it is. So when we now look at this incident of the feeding of the multitude, let's not worry because we've heard it before. Let's look at this one. Actually, the circumstances are very similar, although there are some differences. The differences may not be very vital, and we won't spend a long time on them. But we'll look at this incident just the way we did the other. This time, in the feeding of this multitude, it was the initiative of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. On the other occasion, if you'll remember, the disciples came to Him and said, send them away so that they'll be able to get something to eat. Here, He brought the matter up. And this is what we read. Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. I'm reading in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 15th chapter and verse 32, and we're going to be studying this to the end of the chapter, which is verse 39. When you look at this statement, the first thing that strikes your heart and mind immediately is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I have compassion on the multitude. He's never changed. He still has. And even right now, as He looks out upon a confused world with so much of evil and of wickedness and so much of of contention and conflict and strife and disaster going on, when he looks out on this world as it is, he still has compassion on the multitude. Now, this particular case, his compassion was, in a sense, a sort of a special thing, because these people had followed him for 3 days and were without food. He said, "I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." All this brings to our mind that the practical needs of people are a concern to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that on the strength of that, some people go ahead and organize all manner of philanthropic enterprises, claiming these things are the mind of the Lord, because they say he fed the hungry and he fed the poor, therefore we should. Now, mind, I have no objection to feeding the poor, but I think that the poor should be fed, whether or not you do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're just a human being on the face of this earth and Almighty God is your creator and he's your provider and he's the God with whom you have to do, then it would be a good thing for you to feed the poor no matter who you are or where you are. And believe me, God sees what they do with the poor in China. He sees what they do with the poor in Africa. He sees what they do with the poor in India. He sees what's being done with the poor anywhere. And anybody that is cruel to anybody is going to have God to answer to, really. Actually, you know, this matter of being a Christian is not that we have such special ideas about what's right and wrong, what's good and bad. Other people have those too. There is a difference. We have a special way of getting it done. Yes. Now, a Christian is honest like anybody else is honest, and anybody else is to be just as honest as a Christian. The difference is that the Christian has help in being honest, the other man's being honest on his own. And so in every other aspect, so far as being a Christian is concerned. And this is true here now. Now, so far as feeding the multitude here, this is not to say that the Lord Jesus opened up feeding establishments and went ahead and fed all the poor people in Palestine all the days of his earthly ministry. It doesn't follow that way. Here, he did this thing for a special purpose, and that's what we're going to see. But he did illustrate something. He is interested in practical needs. And if you were to ask me, well, why didn't he go ahead then and devote himself to the needs of the people? I would like to say to you, he did. He gave himself for the needs of the people. But it belongs to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to hold out that spiritual needs are more important and physical needs are secondary. He would use the physical as an illustration, but the real truth is in the spiritual, because that's where he works it. So these practical needs that they had physically would be just the same as the practical needs that we have spiritually, just the same as the Lord Jesus looked out upon them for being so long without food. He'll look out on a congregation that's so long without having the gospel preached to them. Believe me, if he can see a congregation and has and listens to the preaching that they get day in and day out, and how little there is about the Lord Jesus Christ, how little there is about the Holy Spirit, how little there is about prayer, how little there is about the invisible God, these things, the Lord Jesus looking down upon that would look on that congregation with compassion, because they don't have any food, and they'll faint by the way. Really, that's the way he would feel. He was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. And I want you to notice now that he did not invoke supernatural strength to be given to the multitude. I can picture right away some people would have cured up that situation, finished it up easy, if they'd had the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just give these people supernatural vitality and then they can walk away all right. He didn't do that. He didn't have something happen to them in a strange, spectacular fashion. He didn't have some wind blow over them that suddenly refreshed them so they didn't need any food for the next 30 days. He didn't have something like that done. Because actually, he would have them live more normally than that. These people were hungry, and they were hungry for ordinary bread, and ordinary bread they were to have. These people needed food. And he did not, as I say, invoke supernatural strength to be given to the multitude. His procedure? You know, the procedure of the Lord Jesus in this incident demanded very little faith on the part of the people. In fact, no special faith on the part of the multitude. But it exemplified the grace of God before their eyes. God's doing things for people every day that never think of him. And he does things for people constantly that never think of him and never think to thank him after they get it, but he's doing it for them all the time. So here, we read, he said to them, "How many loaves have you?" And they told him, 7 and a few little fishes. And in that I see this, that in bringing to pass what would solve the needs of the people, he used what the disciples had. This is classic. Every single time this kind of thing happens, it will happen. Just this way. "How much have you got? What have you got?" They said, "Just a little. Give it to me." And the little they had given to him and blessed, multiplied until everybody had all they needed and were filled, and there was more left afterwards than when they started with. Just as true as it can be pictured in spiritual things. The person who has spiritual truth and is sharing it will be with people, will come across the people who need it, and he will feel himself he doesn't have anything. The Lord will say, "What have you got?" And he'll say, "Well, I just have this and I have that. This is all I have. Give it to me." And the Lord Jesus will use that and bless the people. Sometimes in my work, I'm asked by young men in the ministry what they can preach about. I say, "What do you believe?" They say, "What do you mean?" I say, "You can preach about what you believe. Anything you believe, you can use. And the Lord Jesus will bless it and use it. But what you don't believe, you can't use. What have you? Such as I have, give I thee." And then we read in the next verse, he commanded the multitude to sit down. He had done this before. This is his orderly procedure. He gave thanks, showing the public that all is from God. And they did all eat and were filled and had 7 baskets left over. May the Lord help us to understand how it's in his mind and heart to supply our needs. Our God and Heavenly Father, strengthen us to believe, encourage us to put our trust in thee, and let us walk with thee always. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.